Welcome to Empire Building. I'm Wendy Papazan, and together with my four co-hosts, we bring you weekly unfiltered conversations about leadership, growing a big empire, and living on your own terms.
I'm Kimber Lovett-Minkiti. We are investors and wealth builders with over $75 million in combined net worth.
I'm Sarah Reynolds. We are visionaries who built more than 50 businesses with over $122 million in annual revenue.
I'm Tiffany Fikes. We've led thousands of people and do it all while being pretty good moms.
And I'm Seychelle Van Poole. We are your podcast to learn how to build big businesses and even bigger lives.
Hi, I'm Kimber Lovett-Minkiti, and I'm here with my incredible co-host, Tiffany Fikes, for another episode of Empire Building. Hi, Tiffany.
I know. It's been a week. Glad to be back.
Well, I'm excited for this topic because it's sort of one of my like strengths in life has been this incredible ability to like react. I'm always like, my superpower is like, I'm your girl in a crisis when something goes wrong, right? Like I can react really, really quickly. And as like we're leading businesses and our empire builders, there has to actually be an incredible balance between our reactive style and our proactive, right? Being very intentional about what we're doing, where we're going, how we're leading our people. And so we're going to dive into that today. We're going to talk about how to actually lead and move from chaos to clarity. So if your to-do list might feel more like a crisis hotline, if it feels sometimes like you got to the end of the day and it ran you instead of you running it, you are absolutely not alone and you don't have to live in survival mode. So we're excited to really shift that conversation and give you some tactical ways that we can lead in a much more proactive and intentional way.
Yeah. And don't stop listening, even if you think, oh, that's not me. Like, let's talk about what that really looks like. Because I think a lot of times I could fall into the camp where I say, kind of like you're saying, Kimber, like, I'm strong at this. This is where I thrive. This is the best way for me to be. Or you may even be saying like, no, that's not me at all. I've got absolute clarity. I'm always leading. I'm never reacting. And I think we can fool ourselves sometimes because this reactivity creates a leadership lid that you may not even realize you have because, you know, it's like that book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There.
Yes.
And so like, this was why you succeeded so quickly. This is why you built so quickly because you can handle anything. And yet, if you are still living in reactivity, there is a limit to what your leadership can be. And so, yeah, let's talk through like, what are the ways you know you're leading reactively instead of leading proactively? I think one thing that is very telling is if the first thing you do is you open your email and then you just start dealing with everything in your email, that's probably an indicator that your email is dictating your priorities and you are reacting to somebody else's intentional choices in emailing you. So that's a big one. If your inbox is your to-do list, or if your inbox is the first thing that you do and you've got to just keep checking it and you can't leave anything in there and you're constantly responding to things, that is what I would say is the first red flag on being reactive.
Yeah, I think that's your inbox. It's your text messages. Like, right, how often are you picking that up and thinking about your screen time? Like, you start your day by picking up the phone and like looking at what you got to do. And that drives the first hour of your morning, right? Is it the priorities that have really been, I mean, a lot of people say your inbox is actually somebody else's to-do list. Like, right, it's not your to-do list. And so if you're starting your day there, it's probably a sign that that you're not actually leading with proactive and intentionality.
I think your calendar is another indicator, or it can be, you know, if it is packed, like even time blocked and packed, like you time blocked it, but there's not a single second of downtime and you don't really know what your one thing was for the day or what was the most important thing. You just did the calendar, checked all the boxes, and you get to the end of the day and you're like, what did I even do? You know, like if you're not clear on your goal for the day and your calendar is packed, you for sure are being reactive to whatever is happening.
Yeah, like literally pause this episode right now and go back to your calendar for the last week, right? If you said, hey, if you keep a 4-1 on or you're really clear on what your goals are for the month, like where your calendar actually reflects your priorities and your goals. So if you look at your calendar today, you pull it up and you're like, okay, here's my Outlook, my Google Calendar. What were the activities? Where did your time go? And that's a good indication. Does that line up to the goals that you have for yourself? You know, we're like, as you think about mid-year, we're getting you ready to head into the 2026, like next year planning. Where are you on the goals that you set out for yourself? And how did your schedule line up to the things that you said you wanted to do? This is a big one if you're leading a team, right? That we talk a lot about. You know, I lead an incredible brokerage business. And so growth is a big part of that, right? Growth and value. So when we talk about growth, attracting additional people to our team, that's a big priority. But the answer is like, if at the end of the day, we spend less than an hour a week or a day doing that, well, guess what? Like, it probably wasn't that big of a priority.
Yeah, absolutely. This one is one that I fell trapped to for a long time. So I used to tell people, and I learned to tell my employees this on the front end, that I am a problem-solving junkie. Like, if I hear you in another room with the problem, like, I've got to go solve it. Like, I just want to go help you with it. So basically, keep me out of problems because I'm a junkie. I'm an addict. Like, if I can hear it, I have to be involved. And learning to give that up, and realizing that if I am constantly solving other people's problems, I'm not working on leading the team. And this is a big thing when you're leading a team because you're like, well, that's valuable. They want my opinion. They need my help. And a lot of that is lies that you're telling yourself to feel good. You know, like if you've trained them, they know how to handle it. And if they don't, they can wait until the allotted time to get your help. Or it can be a rare occurrence that you're pulled off task for somebody else's problem. So how much of your day are you spending solving other people's problems?
Yes, that's a big one. And one of my best hacks that I got early on, actually, from Brandon Green was my early broker. As I was moving more into like brokerage and supporting our other agents and their businesses and deals, he was like, what might feel like a crisis and a must respond today, a lot of those problems within an hour actually solve themselves. So when somebody calls you and like, I got a crisis right now, you got to stop everything that you're doing and call me. The answer actually was that if I waited just an hour and I called them back, 90% of the time, like, oh, yeah, I figured it out. And so this, like, when we're jumping in to put on the cape and solve it, it actually might be serving us more because that, like, crisis, we feel good when we solved it, but you've definitely not advanced any of your priorities. And many times you're not even empowering your team or the people that you're leading to help figure out the problem first.
Yeah. And then the last one is, to Kimber's point, pull up your calendar. And does your calendar have any white space in it? Because, and when we say white space, we've talked about this a lot on our episode. We're not just talking about blanks that get filled with something else, but white space is the intentional space you've put into your calendar to think, to strategize, to work on the business. You know, that intentional time, if it doesn't exist in your calendar, then you aren't being strategic. You aren't giving the space to make sure that your calendar is reflecting your priorities, that you're clear on your priorities, that when you get to the end of the day, you know you moved something forward and you know what that thing was.
Yes. And I've talked about this a lot in some of our other episodes, but you know, a year or 2 years ago, I looked up and I had about 35 hours of scheduled meetings every single week, right? So like I was getting to the end of the week, I was burnt out, I was tired, I had no time for strategy. There was zero white space in my calendar, clearly, right? Like the only time I could do that, which it's not white space at 10 o'clock at night after my kids got to bed, or like Sunday morning, I have to wake up early before, like that was not white space. And so I literally set a rule for my team that I didn't take any meetings after 12 o'clock on Friday, right? And my goal is to get that to be any time on Friday. But this idea that there was white space or just like open space on the calendar that could allow for that. It was actually what allowed it to happen was it was a block. So it couldn't be that the space was just open because then it became really easy to fill it. The answer is that it actually is a blocked out box on my calendar, right? From 12 to 7 p.m. on Friday. And so that meant somebody had to intentionally try to go over the block, even me, like psychologically, it was a big impact. So thinking about white space isn't just something that you say like, oh, I'm going to figure out where to find this. The challenge for you here would be if you don't have that in your like regular calendar of your day, right, your week, go ahead, right? Take as an action. Maybe the one thing that you from this episode is that you block out white space on your calendar. And that is time that you turn off the alerts on your phone, that you kind of like calm the noise that's going on everywhere around us and really get focused. For some of us, that means we actually have to get out of the office and go sit somewhere. You have to turn everything
yes.
off to allow that time to actually have that space for clarity.
And when you're thinking about, okay, reactive isn't so bad. Like I get a lot done. I feel great at the end of the day because I've done so much or I've solved so many problems. So let's spend a couple of minutes talking about, no, like really, what's at stake if you live here. We already talked about the fact that it puts a lid on your leadership. Like, you and your team will not advance beyond your capacity, which is finite. Even all of us listening who have a capacity much larger than most people, you still have a finite capacity. And if you stay in reactivity, you are limiting your business to whatever level your capacity is. And that's not how you build empires. So limited capacity is one of the things at stake. Kimber, what else do you think is at stake?
I mean, I think this is where, and we see it a lot right now, right? Extremely high burnout, right? Because you can be racing and running really fast and actually like whack-a-mole, right? You're solving lots of problems, but you're not actually solving the problems that are driving the business forward. And that's where we see when we talk about, gosh, why are we seeing so many leaders, so many empire builders, especially our women, feeling incredibly burnt out, right? And it is that reactivity that it is taking, even just in how our brains are processing, right? Like a different level of energy to constantly be like, what is the next problem I'm going to have to solve? And I have an incredible therapist. And one of the things she said to me, because I was like, I love a good crisis. I don't know. And she's like, and sometimes you're creating them because of the adrenaline rush that you get when you solve them. And it was like, stopped me in my tracks because I was like, wait a minute. But I actually looked up and I was creating them, right? I wait to the last minute to book a flight. I packed the schedule so tight. But then I was actually getting, like, the reactivity was creating this like adrenaline rush for me. It was like a drug. And so being able to actually separate that, it's not that my life today is proactive all the time, but this shift of actually building a level of proactive. And then we talk about this a lot, like win the morning, win the day. It doesn't mean that the day doesn't get away and you're not able to address them. Some of you might be saying, well, gosh, I run a team. I'm running a sales business. There's deals blowing up. There's things going on. That's okay. But the goal here is to actually like shift your leadership so that you're intentionally, you're aware of where are the spaces that you're driving and leading really proactively, even though we know like, right, 20% of that activity is going to yield 80% of your results. So think about your day. If you can just control 20%, that's actually going to be, for many of us, it could be a game changer for your leadership.
Well, and I think some of the burnout also comes from disconnection from why you started doing this in the beginning. You know, whether that's your big vision or whether it's your big why, like when we don't see progress towards that piece, or we're not focused on why we're doing this, what our vision is, and we're just doing stuff, then you've got the busyness on top of the lack of clarity of why you're doing it, what was the point, all of that. And so I think moving into proactivity is also realigning yourself with your vision. So I'm super excited to jump into, all right, we know we have a problem.
That's right.
Step one, right? Admit you have a problem.
That's right.
So now what do we do?
And now what do we do? And so just remember, like, thinking about why does it matter? So when you're reactive, you're ultimately managing chaos. Like, that's what you're doing. You're managing sort of this chaotic world. And when you shift to proactive, you're really creating clarity. You're creating clarity. And I love, like, Tiffany, I think you're nailing it. Like, this, it's clarity, not just of what you're doing, but why you're doing it. Why that activity, why that cadence of really driving on that one thing is going to help you get there. So we're going to help. Our goal is to sort of shift, right? Shift from it just coming at you to actually designing the role that you are excited to be a part of and that your team is excited to be a part of on that vision casting that you're going to lead, like your time and energy. You're in control of it. There's something really powerful about that, right? That this idea that we can be in control of the time and the energy that you're putting towards something. And I think ultimately, like, it allows us to build empires with strategy, which is really important. So when we think about our empire builders, it's about scale, right? Even if that means you're scaling to be able to have time to do the other things that you want, but you absolutely cannot scale chaos. And we can scale when there's clarity. So that's a big part of it. So how are we gonna do that, Tiffany?
We've got five strategies for you to shift from reactive to proactive in your leadership. So number one, I love that this got assigned to me, own your mornings. Kimber's already talked about this. Like, owning your morning is a big deal. Now, I'm your empire builder who, if given my own choice, I would wake up at 7 and I would consider that an early morning, if I'm being totally honest. But reality dictated that I did something different when I was moving from reactive to proactive. I had kids. They had school, which I didn't get to pick, you know, so they were getting up at 6:30 or 6 for school. And so I had to start doing what I would say is the dreaded 5 a.m. Many people wear it as a badge of honor. But if I was getting up with my kids, I was not winning my morning in any way. It's chaos. I was reacting. Whatever they were feeling when they got up, those were my first feelings. Whatever they'd forgotten, that became my morning. And so, like, I was living it at home. And then you get to work, and I'd had no thinking time ahead of planning my day or what's going on, and then I'm just reacting at work. So you don't have to own the whole day, just like Kimber said, but you need to do what it takes to own your morning. And if your life aligns to a 7 a.m. wake up, do it if that's your best morning. And if it doesn't, even if you want your morning to start at 7, it may need to start at 5 so that you can not live in reactivity immediately when you wake up. So, you know, one of the things that you're doing every morning, like, okay, you're going to wake up and you're going to be up early, or you're going to get to the office an hour before your team gets there. Like, whatever morning you want to start with, you need to make sure that you are defining your top three goals for the day. That could be just work. It could be work and home, like whatever. Center yourself on what is important for the day. Remind yourself what is important for today. And then make sure your calendar has the space in it to do those things, to move one of those things forward during the day. And most importantly, you need to make sure that you're grounding your mindset. Y'all have heard me talk about meditation. Like, I literally had a spiral mental day yesterday where I got completely off. I had a person who had done something, and then I'm telling stories in my head, and I can't focus on what's important because all I want to do is just like get them back, you know, and like strategies to get them back. And I was like, you know how to do this, Tiffany. You know how to calm your mind. You can control your thoughts and center yourself. And so, like, a meditation practice is a big part of my morning because my mind spins, whether it's great business ideas or, you know, how to protect my people or how to have a like great time with my kids, like whatever, it's constantly going. And so making sure that I practice mindfulness, gratitude, choosing my mindset, not letting someone outside of me dictate my day positively or negatively, and just really centering yourself. So make sure you know what the point of the day is. What are your three goals? Make sure your calendar aligns with that, and ground yourself in who you are and why you're doing what you're doing before you go out to battle.
As a leader, it can be lonely. You're ready to grow, and you realize you need the right community to get you there. With Empire Circle, you'll be surrounded by driven, adventurous women who want more in business and in life. You'll get real-time feedback, personalized guidance, and honest advice from seasoned leaders who have built businesses and net worths in the hundreds of millions, all while living their big lives. If this sounds like the fuel you need to level up your business and your life, Empire Circle is absolutely for you. You can get more information at herbestlife.com by clicking on Empire Circle. Come and let's build your empire together.
Oh, I love that. There's so much golden in there, because I think our businesses are literally a mirror to us. So this starting the morning routine for me allowed me also to just, we went from everybody walking to schools really close to the house, right? It was like this golden era for our family. And 2 years ago, and the first one goes to high school, like all of a sudden we've got now commutes, we have to get out of house in time, we're going to be late. So like what I found was that I 100% set the tone. And so Tiffany, exactly what you're saying, like if I was behind and I didn't, and I was like getting up with the kids and everyone's racing and I'm grumpy and they're grumpy, it impacted everybody's day. And so I realized like I had to own the day. I'm with you. Like I'd be a 7 a.m. or two, but it actually required me to have to own the morning differently. And it was like a night and day shift. And so when I got like around the idea that that was actually my responsibility to control, same thing. Like if I got into the office and I was ready to go and I was ready to lead it, like it set the tone for everything else. And ultimately, right, like as the leader, we're driving that forward. So if we're starting the day reactively, everything else, personally, professionally, is going to follow suit. So figuring out what that routine looks like for you and building that cadence into your world. Number two, also one that we've talked about a little bit, is just the 80-20 rule. I loved, 10x is greater than 2x. really was a game changer for me, like a book right by Dan Sullivan with our own Linda McKissick, right, quoted very deeply in there. This idea that when you're trying to really get focused, looking back at yours, if you're in the first half of the year, you're going to look at the first half and say, okay, what drove our activities, right? What actually got the results? What were those things? And really doubling down your activities around the things that drove your results. 20%, sometimes less than that, are going to drive 80% of the outcomes that you have. So getting very clear on what those 20% activities are and ensuring that they show up. And while that might sometimes be easiest for us, I find the bigger challenge is making an assumption that everyone on my team knows what that is in their roles. And so as the leader, one of the things I had to get clear on, even defining a new position, we're going to make a new hire. What was 20%? Like, we just hired an incredibly new managing director for our Her Best Life, right? A business that Tiffany and I, around, along with some of our other co-founders, lead. And getting clear on that hire, not just because sometimes we, especially now in a world of ChatGPT, like we get these very like robust descriptions and they're pages of like what it looks like. But actually, like, what does success look like? What's the 20%? How would you know that when you look up at the end of a month, if your team did an incredible job and they performed wildly successfully, what did they do? What results did they have? And are we clear with them about this is what success looks like in the role? This is the top 20%. And remember, all things do not matter equally. So a lot of times what happens when people aren't performing, the market's a little bit slower. We find activity to feel like we're busy. And the answer is it actually didn't drive the results. And so are we clear with our team about like, these are the non-negotiables. These things must get done. And these other things, they're nice to have. They got done, great. But these things, like, right, these are the big bright lines. These are the 20% commitments. So defining that across the board.
Like hearing you say that, like, we manufacture busyness to feel productive, and it's not the same thing. So if it's not your 20% and your 20% hasn't been done, you're kidding yourself with the activities that you're doing or your team. Like, and I love that, being so clear with your team. Such a good reminder. Okay, number three, we've already talked about this. We're basically hinting through the whole episode on our strategies.
That's right, we previewed everything.
That's right. But you need to block a weekly white space or think tank hour. So Kimber already told you, this is not an empty spot. Like, if you use Google Calendars, white is free. So don't get confused by that. This is a blocked piece of time that probably has travel on either side of it, because to Kimber's point, when you're in the office, it takes a very disciplined person to be disconnected from what's happening around you in the office. So you may need to leave. I have to leave for this. Zero chance I can be in the office and be focused on thinking. So I leave. So I have a block and travel time blocked on either side of it. But you want to make sure that this is the time in your business where you're going to zoom out. You're not working in your business. You're working on your business. And you're focused on strategy, innovation, forecasting. This is the time that you are moving the big rocks forward, the goals, or you're revisioning what the goals are, or you're looking at what is it going to take to get there, or how are we going to get there, or what's the new idea, or what's the idea we've not fully executed? That's probably what it is. You don't need a new idea. You need to double down on an idea that's already working but isn't fully executed. And until you have a moment to remove yourself from the yeah buts and oh waits and no and excuses that as humans we all do around why results look the way that they are. Like, this is your moment to go look at the numbers. Can be a way to use it. Look at the numbers. What's the story the numbers are telling us? Like, what's the truth the numbers are telling us that we've been telling ourselves a story about that maybe isn't true? But when you just look at the numbers, you can realize things in your business that are keeping you from moving things forward. So strategy, forecasting, looking at numbers, innovation, that's the stuff you're filling this time with.
Yes. And I think we talk about it as being this like thinking time hour. You may find where you are in your business, you've got to block more time for that, right? So maybe you need to block your financial review and you're going to block that in. Maybe it's not weekly, it's monthly. Like, I've got this time blocked and this is what I'm going to do here. I think the power here is that the blocks become like in the absence, like back to everything does not matter equally. So if you're looking at your week and you're thinking, I got a full week, but there's nothing, like, I don't know that anything that I'm already blocked is actually going to move the goals forward, I would challenge you to flip it, right? What if you didn't go to those meetings tomorrow? What if you didn't do that activity? What if you didn't do that thing and you actually put a block in for the thing that you need to, the follow-up specific time, that like your follow-up's a big part. A lot of times we think in our businesses, we have a lead generation problem. We often have a lead conversion and follow-up problem. So is that blocked on your schedule? Maybe you have lots of time that everyone's focusing on their lead gen, but is there a lead conversion time? Is there lead review time? Like where did the leads come in? How are we analyzing? How are we evaluating those? This is like block those things on your calendar is a game changer.
One other thing that I've learned is when I do my thinking time, I actually now have my assistant with me because number one, it's accountability that I'm going to stay focused on whatever that thing is. I'm also a little bit of a verbal processor. And so like I have somebody to talk through something with because I felt like I was wasting her time. But this is where it was game changing for me. She was then there aware of the decisions that were being made and was able to execute on whatever that thing is that I decided. So it could be, and sometimes she's doing it while I'm thinking and figuring it all out. You know, like I get to the end and I'm like, okay, this is how we're going to execute it. And she's like, yeah, I already did that. Like while you were doing it, I made the spreadsheet. Or while you were doing this, I did this thing over here. And I stopped dropping the ball. I stopped not executing on the ideas that were decided on, or I forgot, or, you know, it just took a month for me to get it done. And when she would be with me in these think tank sessions, things got done that I just thought about. It felt like I just thought about it and then she was executing it. So if you're someone like me, maybe a verbal processor, maybe irresponsible with to-dos and or need some accountability, that's my pro tip. I've just started doing that this year. I fought it for a long time because I felt like it was a waste of her time. And she's so glad to be with me. And we get it done so much faster.
It's almost like built-in accountability.
Yeah.
I mean, right, you're building it in. Because I think sometimes when we go off and like we're in the hole, we come back and it's like, you don't actually get to implement, you're saying, right? Like these things that you spent time focusing on around the business. So I love that. The next one, we talked about this one too, man, train your team to self-solve. And this is one where we really have to ask ourselves, like swap dependency for empowerment, right? You really want to empower your team to function. I had a coaching session with two incredible agents actually out of Chicago earlier last week. And, you know, they were in that space of like, no one can do it better than us, right? Like we can't build leverage because like our clients aren't going to want to, you know, like they're attached to us. And so it's really becoming hard and we're feeling like the business is growing, but we're holding it back. And I was like, I hate to tell you this, right? But we think that they need us and they don't, right? Like what they want is the result. They don't necessarily, right, that we are often, Tiffany, you said this, right, that we're the lid on being able to move something forward. And so sometimes that sense of like, they're dependent, they need me. We all, like, especially often as women, like we want to be needed by our team. Well, I've heard a lot of leaders I'm coaching to the next phase of their business and when it comes down to letting go, they're like, but what am I going to do? Like my identity is in solving these problems. And ultimately, the freedom you're seeking is going to be in empowering your team to solve the problems. And some tactical ways to do this, if you've got one-on-ones with your team, like setting up time, setting up office hours, right? So we have all of, for our brokers, like they set up office hours, which then helps all of sort of these inputs coming at them. Setting up specific time. Hey, we're going to have time at the top of each of your one-on-ones to really focus on like, keep your list, right? And we'll go through these problems together. When I have a new team member, we do an end of the day when they're first starting and then an end of the week. So like, what were the three things you learned? What are the three things that you didn't understand or you need help with? So that it's not this constant barrage of, I need to ask you this question. Because that's also going to interrupt your flow. When you're in a time block and a flow, when somebody's coming in, it can feel like, okay, let me solve this problem and drop everything. But actually then you've got to get back on task. So really empowering your team, even just a question. Well, what do you think we should do? How would you answer that question? Why don't you draft it and send it to me and I'll provide you some feedback? So like getting that thinking and processing in for your team, you're really empowering them to take action.
Okay, and number five, you need to pre-decide your boundaries. You have heard Kimber and I talk about examples of boundaries, you know, like when are you going to check your email? Because if you don't have an assistant who's doing it for you, you do eventually have to check your email. You know, like Kimber isn't going to have meetings afternoon on Friday, or I have Wednesday as my business on the business days, and nobody assigns anything to me on Wednesday. I have to make a conscious decision to do that. But you need to decide whatever your boundaries are, and then you need to protect them. And this is the hardest thing in life. I mean, this is a life skill. So like when you mess this up, don't worry about it. Like that's human, and let's get back up and try again. Because you have to say no to something to protect your highest value yes, which is these things that you've decided ahead of time are most important. And when we're training agents, just protecting like lead gen time and, you know, well, a client's coming in town or, you know, something, and I need to do it. And I was like, if you were meeting with another client, would you move that meeting for this thing over here? You know, and they're like, no, I would never do that. Okay, you got your answer then. Like that, this is a appointment you've scheduled for yourself, and hold it, hold the boundary, because that's how you're going to get out ahead of things and be proactive in moving your business forward.
I love it. And this is one, I think, you know, business and life, you know, one of my great reminders is, especially with my boys, right, that they can see me better than they can hear me. So the boundaries that you say you expect for your team or in your personal life, right, when you're not living them, it becomes very inauthentic to hold a team to an expectation to hold them. So if you say, hey, these are the things that we're committed to, and then you don't show up living that standard, it's not a standard, right? Like it's a suggestion at best. And so I think really understanding, hey, what are the, you're not making 50 of these, right? What are the things, what are the practices, what are the values that are going to help shift this to a more proactive leadership that you're going to implement? And then really, sometimes just communicating it is going to help increase, right, your effectiveness at holding it. Because that means then the people we love and care about in our life and business are going to help hold us to that standard. So when we think about just overall, like we've hit a lot of things, and we talked about the daily setup. For many of us, that actually starts on Friday or Sunday, right? That the setup of your goals for the week and your schedule for the week actually start, not the morning, right? That you, in order to win the day, you actually win the evening. And so how do you make sure, do you set a block of time if Sunday evening's that time for you? Some people do it on Friday afternoons before they leave, right? So they get the week set up effectively. But like these are routines that you want to build in that really allow you to do that. I think even the boundary of time, right? I know, Tiffany, we've talked about this a lot. And as we have kids at different elementary, middle school ages, what does a shutdown time look like, right? Do you commit that, hey, one of my standards is like, I'm equally proactive around my family time. So I'm committed to these dinners. I'm committed to this workout. And I block that in and I build it and I communicate it. Like I communicated at the start of high school that I was going to be at, you know, my son's like football game. Like I was going to be there. And I communicated that to him. And so it was a great, like one, when there had to be something really important that I wasn't going to be there, I communicated it, but setting like this was a standard. It was really important to me. I communicated to him, I communicated to my team, and then it allowed people to like take a much more proactive position to also support me in achieving that goal. And then ultimately, like this monthly recalibration, where are you? Your calendar, your schedule reflects your goals. So when you do a section that says, hey, we want to have this, we want to attract this many agents to our office, we want to sell this many houses, the schedule of your goals should reflect that. Your schedule should look at. So when you say, hey, these are our goals for the second half of the year, and you pull up your calendar, how do those tie together? And there should be this calibration between the goal and the calendar.
Love it. And here's the challenge I have for you. It's not go do all five of these things, immediately implement it into your schedule. It is one thing. Like, and I would challenge you to make it that 1 hour block, white space, think tank block. Get 1 hour in your schedule. Nobody is going to die on your table in 1 hour. I always say, no one's dying on the closing table. Like it will be fine for 1 hour. To Kimber's point, you may realize that some things solve themselves while you're away. But one thing, 1 hour into your calendar, where can you find it and how can you hold it? And then here's this thing, something's going to happen in that hour. You may get distracted. You may end up on Facebook because you haven't shut down, you know, your internet or, you know, like whatever it is. And then just try it again the next week. Like this is a practice of moving from reactive to proactive. It is not a switch that is going to be flipped. You have years, decades, lifetime of reactive habits that you're going to slowly unfurl with our five strategies. So get that 1 hour and focus on leading your business. for 1 hour, not working in it, not solving problems, leading your business. And then just some general, like, I think a good question can solve a lot of things. And so let's talk about a few questions you can ask yourself for the other, I wonder how many hours there are in a week. 24 times 7, I don't know, 150 hours? I don't know what it is. But for the other 149 hours, here are some questions you can ask yourself when something comes up. So, number one, is this urgent or just loud? Is it urgent or is it loud? And 9 times out of 10, the answer is going to be loud. So, give yourself a beat before you jump into it to say, is this urgent or is this loud? And then another question I would ask, maybe like at lunchtime, like, how have I done so far today? Have I won my morning? You know, am I being pulled into problems or am I leading towards a priority? And then at the end of the day, let's reflect on where can I trade reaction for intentional rhythm? Like, what's one thing I would do differently at the end of today that would have led me away from reaction and into an intentional, proactive rhythm that would have served the day better.
I love those. And I think that part of it's also, for many of us, because it's been a strength, it becomes a blind spot that we don't even realize, right? So hopefully in this, you've maybe looked at even just these questions, like, gosh, you know what? Like, I am being pulled into a lot of problems. Like, that is actually a large part of what I do. And so some of it's just the awareness. And so you're looking back at your day, you're looking back at your week, and seeing it. Now that it's gonna be harder to unsee it. So part of our goal is like shine a light on it so that you can see it. And then ultimately, right, we know that empires are not built in panic. They're not built by just solving every crisis. They're built with purpose and intentionality and clarity and why. Like, what are you building and how do you continue to drive towards that? So our goal in this episode was to help us all shift from chaos to clarity and to make sure that we're building a proactive business that can have ultimately a really big impact. So we're excited to hear. We would love to hear what you got. So you feel free. You can reach out to us, even tag us, right? And find us on Instagram, Her Best Life, and let us know what you put into purposeful practice and really built that big business. So we're excited. Don't forget, we also love to hear your intentions. We love to get your feedback so you can share this episode with somebody or leave us a review. And we invite you to go have an incredible big business, big week.
Have a great week.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not Keller Williams Realty LLC and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.